Well, greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the lovely, beautiful state of Texas. I greet you from the city of Austin, in this amazing state of the Union, in this place where there's a lot of freedom-loving people, and people that love God and seek His face and want to walk with Him, amidst a lot of others that also don't love God and are about their own way. And, you know, it's all combined together. As we live in this life and as we're here, the wheat and the tares grow together. Light and dark coexist. We live on a plane and in a paradigm where both of these things have been allowed to exist, and they will go on like this until the end. That's why the darkness can't crush or put out the light. And though the light increases, the darkness is allowed to also have a kingdom here by God's design and God's plan and God's purpose. The other day I was at a small gathering with some believers, and we were talking about some of the things going on in the world, and I had to bring this scripture up, and I thought, we got to cover this one again. Isaiah 45 and verse 5 through 7 says, "I am the Lord. There is none there, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." So, it's important to understand, because that this entire paradigm that we live in is by God's design, God's plan, God's intention. There is not a mistake in that which we live in and that which we are experiencing right now. If it were the case that God did not want the world that we have in, then He would have stopped it, changed it, rerouted it, done something different. But there's a reason and a purpose that God created the reality that we experience. And incidentally, every one of us that lives through this life, we all of us will experience and have experienced pain. We've all experienced suffering. We've all been, just touched by the evil that is here in the plane of existence that we're in. And, rather than, trying to create excuses for flawed theology, rather to realize the truth of the reality. In Psalms, let me flip there too. So keep Isaiah 45 in mind. And then, let's see here. Let's go to Psalm. Love this Bible. Thank you very much, Cornerstone Books. Barbara Marcotti, Cornerstone Books. I just have to say that because get some great stuff from her. Okay, Psalm 24 and verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." All right, so I'm going to just read the rest of this. "Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. O Jacob, Selah, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Okay. So, Isaiah 45, God is the one that formed the light, creates evil. The whole thing is his design, his plan, his purpose. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means that the whole thing is his. The whole thing, all of it belongs to him. That means that every blade of grass belongs to him. Every herd of cattle belongs to him. Every soul belongs to him. Everything here, every molecule of air, every molecule of oxygen, all the fish in the sea, everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Just so there's no mystery here. So here. So God, it all belongs to him. And he's the one that formed the light and formed the darkness. Now, why? Why would God create a world and allow on this plane of existence for light and dark to coexist? Because here's the thing. When God made Adam, he also made him with the ability to fall. When God made Eve, she was made with the ability to fall. When God made Lucifer, you know, and you read in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, when Lucifer was created, he was created a beautiful angelic being. But he also was created with the ability to fall, and he did. And out of the fall, and out of a byproduct of the fall, was the world that we live in right now. Now, in the middle of that, you know, shall we wrestle a little bit with this? You know, shall we wrestle a little bit with what is really going on? Instead, because see, here's the thing. You can either wrestle with truth and allow God and seek for truth. If you ask, seek, knock, you're going to find, you're going to receive, and the door is going to be open. So, you know, or if you want to, you can just do what most people do, and you can sedate yourself with sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You can turn on the TV and check out your brain. You can, you know, put a needle in your arm. You can go down the list of all the things that you can do, or you can actually cut to the quick and get on God's page and seek to understand and seek to know his heart and seek to know him. Now, this is life eternal, that they may know you, the one true living God, and your Son whom you've sent, Jesus Christ. So this is life. That's in John 17. I believe verse 3. Yeah, but first part of John 17. Let's see. Yep, verse 3. And says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So, rather than trying to dull the pain, because here's the thing, you can dull the pain for a little bit, but then when that numbing agent is gone, you're still back in the same spot. Only you're groggy or your mind is not quite right. Or you've added more pain to your problem. So rather than that, why not go straight for truth? Why not dig into this and seek the Lord. Why not ask God for the revelation? And then in the process of the revelation, also understanding, how now do you live? How now do you relate to this reality? Because to understand how you live in the time that you have here in this life, wouldn't you think that would be important? Wouldn't you think that should be a worthwhile pursuit? I mean, all the things that people pursue in this life, and yet who gives a thought to their Creator? Who gives a thought to what His expectation is, what His desire is for us? One thing we know, we've been created as free will agents. God made us with a free will and an ability to choose, and we see that every day in the choices that we make and the consequences that come as a result of those choices. So, wouldn't it be nice to choose of your own free will, to seek the Lord's face and to understand in your heart, and then take action based on that understanding according to the plan and purpose of God for your life and for the world? Now, what is the plan and purpose of God with us? Well, one thing is that we know that all that is there serves the greater purpose of God. We know that all that is there serves the greater plan of God. So, for example, scriptures talk about how, you know, if the powers at the time when Jesus was on earth, if they knew about the crucifixion, if they knew about the resurrection, they would have done everything they could to have prevented the crucifixion. But they did not know. They didn't understand the mystery of God until afterwards. Once it was done, and once the resurrection had happened, and once, Jesus had crushed the serpent's head, and the whole thing had happened, even though he had bruised his heel, he crushed his head, and that whole incredible, the passion of the Christ played out. Once that was done and seen, and then, and then on the flip side of that, and Jesus even walking, on the road with the two guys and explaining it to them, the reason that the Messiah had to come and die, and all that was necessary to take place, and even as he went through all of that, and even, at Pentecost, and Peter stood up and explained it once again, and people were pricked in their hearts because they understood that Jesus, that they crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ, and there is salvation under no other name but Him. And once they understood that, and then, okay, now the mystery of God is revealed. Now you understand how there was no other way. Now you understand the love of God. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now we understand an expression of the depth of the love of God for us, which we would have never seen any other way. Which we would have never known any other way. Here's another thing too. All the pain and the suffering that we experience in this life, God says that He will, wipe away every tear. I mean, essentially, I don't think He's standing there with a Kleenex wiping your eyes. I think that more shows just that basically all of the pain is, we don't carry that with us from this life into the next. We don't take any of it with us. None of it stings you anymore. And even everything that happens even in the body, the physical body, there is accountability for that. But we also take off this flesh and put on immortality. I mean, isn't that incredible? So, there's a lot of things about the transition from this life into the next that people, they only look through things in part. They judge in part and they look at things in part because they only understand from this vantage point, from this side. But this world is not our home. Just like a baby that's being born, the womb is not the baby's home. It's just a transition point into life. Just like that, this world is not our home. It's a transition point into eternity. So we're not going to spend eternity in the womb. No, we're spending a season in here as we are birthed into eternity. So, you know, don't get stuck on this side. You know, and don't fall for the illusion. Don't fall for the trap. Don't fall for the desire the world has to scalp your soul. You know, in order for free will to be expressed, one thing that's necessary is you have to be able to be in situations where you can actually choose, where you actually have what seems to be balanced and legitimate choices. You know, you have to be able to choose. And without, you know, a spot with a clear crossroads, and without clear things in front of you where there's choices that can be made, did you ever really have a choice? You know, did you ever really have the ability to exercise that free will that God gave you? See, I believe that's part of why we live in the reality that we live in, is because in this, the ability to choose is honored and is respected. And with that ability also comes consequence. With that ability also comes responsibility. And as you exercise that ability, also you live with the consequences of your choices. All right, you know, have you ever seen a tug of war where you have two teams, you know, and you know, you get a certain number of people on both sides, and they have a very thick rope between them, and they tie a red bandana or a handkerchief on the middle of it to show, you know, which team is moving the rope further and pulling the other team the other way. And imagine, if you would, that, you know, the world that you come into, you get, you know, light on one side and dark on the other, and there's a pull going. And you come in, and because there's that pull that's going from both sides, that push and pull from both sides, that there's an equilibrium that's there. Now, if you were to go to one side or the other and start pulling in that direction, you, for yourself, are going to be moving that from all of a sudden a place of neutrality into one side or the other. And, you know, this is a rather simplified and, you know, example, probably a little bit of a crude example, but if you understand it, what it shows is that in your own life, as you begin to make a choice between light and dark, between the kingdom of God or the kingdom of this world, and as you move in that particular direction, the momentum begins to swing you in that direction. And things start moving in that direction. And the more that you continue to put your free will and pull or move in one direction, you are moving away from one and you're moving closer to the other, whichever one it may be. Now, here's the thing. If you are walking with God, the world is going to try to pull you back. And if you are going the way of the world, the grace of God, if you're fortunate, will extend to you at different times, and God will offer. He will extend a hand. And if people will receive and turn and repent and follow Him and go His way, they will move from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. But if they choose of their own free will to turn their back on God and to turn their back on truth, then they will keep moving in a direction away from God. Now, when people talk about hell, here's one thing you got to understand, is that when you begin moving in a particular direction while you're in this life, and as you move from this life into the next, what happens is the body stops and you take off the earth suit that you're in, and your spirit and your soul continue on. And when they continue on from this life into the next, at that point, the direction that you were moving, the place of your volition in your heart, as you were moving from this, as the place, all that you were putting yourself into while you were here in this world, and as you left this life, you continue to move in that direction. That momentum carries on. And you continue to move in that direction into eternity. Do you see? So, you know, you just continue to carry on. So when people have turned their backs on God and said they in this life that they don't want to have anything to do with Him, well, and they've gone in that direction, well, how can you expect to then all of a sudden, when this life is over, for them to end up with Him, because they didn't want to be with Him? They've chosen against that. They've chosen against truth. They've chosen against Him. And likewise, for the person that has chosen Him and chosen to follow Him, when this life is over, they carry on. And they continue to spiritually move in the direction of Him, of light, of truth. And going from glory to glory and from strength to strength. Now, I know people get afraid about, you know, and they should, rightly so, about judgment and hell and all things being revealed for all eternity and being brought into the light. Here, ultimately, when you go through the same passages we started with, and you understand that this whole thing belongs to God, where are you going to run? Where are you going to hide? You know, for the worlders that have gone the way of darkness, well, you know, where are you going to hide from the Father? Where are you going to hide from the truth? Where are you going to hide from Him? You know, you go, and the setup that they're going to walk right into is that, you know, they're accountable for all that they've done and chosen. And in the choice, they now have responsibility for their choice. So when they've chosen against God, they've received the results and the repercussions of choosing against God. So, you know, yeah, be afraid. Be very afraid. You know, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You know, it is a frightful thing to turn your back on Him, to turn your back on truth, and then to cross from this life into the next, and not to have to stand before Him. Good Lord. Can you imagine that moment? Can you imagine that moment where the rulers of this world right now and those that have sided with the enemy, when they stand in the judgment and incidentally, you know, Lucifer, the devil, Satan, you know, he gets judged too. So they stand in the judgment and they stand there with also, with you know, they gave their allegiance to one that's going to spend his all eternity in the lake of fire. And that was the way that they went. They, you know, they made the wrong bet. They went on the wrong side. They chose the wrong team. And can you imagine that moment when they stand there and they realize, you know, that they are eternally doomed. And there is no getting out. There are no deals that can be cut. There is no way to bribe yourself out of that mess. There is no phone call that you can make to get you out. Nothing. Once you've rejected the Son of God, once you've rejected the blood of Jesus, once you've rejected the truth, once you've rejected the lordship of the King of Kings in this life, you go on into an eternity apart from Him. You go on into an eternity where now you basically get the ramifications of your choice. And it's a frightful thing. See, that's why, too, for the follower of Christ, it's why it's important that we live in a place of forgiveness. That doesn't mean that we are stupid and foolish in our interactions and in the way that we relate to people or let people in our lives or all of that. You know, you do need to have some wisdom, you know, on how you react and relate to people. But that said, we forgive, we release, we let go, we don't hold anything in our hearts. against people. And the Spirit of God enables us to do that. Because part of the reason why is that, we understand the bigger picture. We understand the greater thing that's taking place. And when you understand the greater purpose that's going on, when you understand the bigger picture, it changes the way you relate to this life. It changes the way you relate to other people. It changes the way that you relate to things. The things of this life, the things of this world, all of it. It changes how you see every moment while you're here. So my encouragement to you this day is to see the bigger picture. To understand that this whole thing is here because God designed it. And He has a greater purpose for that. Now in the midst of this, our role is to walk with Him, love Him with all of your heart, and be about your Father's business. Just like Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. Likewise, that should be our strive. And our aim and our goal is to be consummated with Him, that there's no separation, that we would have the mind of Christ, and that the things that we would do would be as led by the Spirit of God, in connection with Him. And as we do those things, we would see the glory of God and the plan and purpose of God manifest. And in moving forward in that, God will manifest in and through you. Now there is also God's desire for your life, which was and is, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And God desires that you would have an abundant, overflowing, fulfilled life. And that comes from being fully consummated with the light and with the truth and with Him. And out of that place, to walk out your existence here. So work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Trust Him, love Him, and know that God is in control. And as you seek His face, you're going to find Him. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open. And with that, hey, we love you guys. We love you, we love you. Do write us. We appreciate it when you do. Faithmix@gmail.com. And you can drop us a note on Facebook too. We got a page there. Those are good. So just say hi and let us know you're out there. And And if you get something out of these broadcasts, share them with somebody else too. I know some of you guys do that pretty regularly, but I know a lot of you. You can share the truth. It's okay. Be bold about it. People need to know the truth. And, we all do our part. So, we love you. Talk to you soon. God bless you. Bye.